Para mí es un
Good evening, everybody. Can everyone hear me? Hello. I'd like to call the meeting to order. I'm Georgia Coleus. Ken Prasvara couldn't be here today, so I have the honor of running this meeting for the first time, so bear with me. I have Joel to my left and Kristen to help me. And let's move forward. We're beginning the meeting at 6:04 on November 19th, and let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to begin the meeting with any public comments. Do we have any public comments?
I didn't receive anything from that.
Then I would like to move to the next item on our agenda, which is approval of the previous meeting minutes. Do we have any discussion or changes to those minutes?
I had one just addition from Eva to add just the title because I didn't have treasurer in there, but I
can't what about
that you're training. So I added it.
Yeah, I never realized that. I need a training about being a treasurer. I've asked this all the time and they refuse. They don't satisfy my plea. So I want somebody to get out of trouble. Huh? Yeah.
Could I have a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting?
I move we approve with the change as presented.
Okay. And is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Monica, second. In which case, we've moved to approve last meeting's minutes with the change made, adding the title. The next order of the agenda.
We need to
put it. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All those who approve?
Yes.
Aye. Aye.
Any noes? Okay. Motion is passed to approve the minutes. The next item on the agenda, if it's okay, we would like to start with the monthly financial review because our auditors are here, and then go on to the head of school report. If there are no objections to that change of order, let's begin with the financial report.
So I can start with the monthly report and then move on to the report as our hospital reporting issues. Revenues that we are being expected this year, $51,003,004. Collected so far is $35,461,890, which is 58% of the budget. This time last year, we were at 61%.
Yeah. Lisa needs to hear for people to hear.
Yeah. Okay, I'm in the hospital.
Welcome, happy.
Warm seat. Okay. So I'll back up a little bit. So we are expected to receive $61,123,804 in revenues this year. And to date, we've received $35,461,890, which is 58% of the budget. Last year in October, we had received 61% of the budget. Largely, the discrepancy there for us this year, it's not huge. We still are awaiting some preloads from the districts. We're we're actually waiting on one school now, but as of October, we were waiting on three schools, which that money is supposed to be due to us in the beginning of the fiscal year. But because of the Newcastle County assessment process, that money has been held up and has caused a delay, like a domino effect. So the districts didn't get their money, the banks were holding on to it, and so forth. So we're still pushing to get that money. Where did it go? So revenues, that money, we received $8,000 in state funds. Our local money, which is from the school districts, 35% of the preloads, the three schools that we received in October was $1,841,888. Aftercare received $12,177. Cafeteria received $140,938. We received $16,400 for our St. Thomas rental. Student activities were $5,866, and other donations and other revenue pieces that we received were $119,906. We did have a reduction in federal, which is okay. Please don't be alarmed. We had a coding error that happened last year with our federal money. So we had received money in federal funds for the SOR grant, and somehow part of it got coded to coded twice. So the state has made that correction now and reduced those funds. So now it's where it should be.
So did that actually present as a surplus in last year's budget?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So our final budgeted expenditures are $53,722,694, and that includes our contingency that we must carry over. Our expenses to date are $19,325,425 with the encumbrance that we're still holding of $1,787,955, which I hope that my team and I are able to clear that and move forward and clear that encumbrance. So we are at 39% of the budget of our expenditures, and last year we were at 35% at this time. So considering we just reopened or not reopened, but considering we opened a new building, I think we're trending pretty well. And here's our web report. So there was a request that our other expense line was show it was reading $6 million, and that was a large percentage of the budget. So I have broken that down so that we can see some of the other higher items. So I went through and looked at all of the other high item budgeted items, so that you could see that clearly and see what piece of that we were spending down. In digging into this, like I had mentioned, this was a inherited document that I got, and I've navigated it and learning it a lot more. And one thing that I saw that our salary and benefits line was listed low. We were underestimating. It was calculated within our total expenditures. However, it wasn't in the correct line. So I moved that into the salary. So that salary line now is reading $38,254,000. Previously, it was $34 million. So some of that money came from that other thing. So I'm actually really glad that you brought it to my attention to look at it. And I feel so much more confident with this document now that I've made it my own. So I appreciate that. So in cleaning that, I'm hoping that it's more clear in terms of what that other line item is. And that we can see, because now I brought down the other expenses line to $897,000. It's not that reading that $6 million.
Okay. Are there any questions for the October monthly report? Any discussion? Could I have a motion to approve the October monthly financial report as stated? Okay, and a second? Okay. So can we, all those approve?
Aye.
Any disapprovals? Any negative? Okay, so motion is passed and the October financials are approved.
Thank you. I will let him jump into the seat, but I will share the screen for him.
You can stay there, so I can.
Okay.
I'll just go over a little closer.
The
the one slide does not come out good on black and white paper.
Okay.
I'll have to read that one. And while you're pulling that up, good evening, everyone. I am Tim Sawyer. I'm the audit partner at Barbicane Thornton and Company. So we're here to go over the audit results of your June 30, 2025 audit. You can actually go to this third slide. Okay, so with your the results of the audit, so with your financial statements, we have issued unmodified opinions, which means we believe that the financial statements are fairly presented in accordance with United States Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, or U.S. GAAP. As part of our audit, we follow the standards of generally accepted in the United States of America, which are also referred to as GAS, and as also because you are a government agency, you know, a component unit of the state of Delaware, we also follow government auditing standards, which is also referred to as the Yellow Book. And I'm also happy to report that there are no current year findings to report in your audit. Ahead to the next slide. All right, so I'd just like to point out to the responsibilities of management as part of the audit. So ultimately, management is responsible for the fair presentation and preparation of the financial statement. As a non-attest service, we do assist them with preparing the financial statements. And once they are prepared, we forward them for review. And they ultimately accept responsibility by signing off on a management representation letter for the audit. Our responsibility is to express the opinions, which, as I mentioned, were unmodified or clean, based on our audit, and we provide reasonable assurance that your financial statements present fairly your financial position. It's only reasonable assurance because we do not audit every single transaction that the school does, because if we did that, we'd probably be here all year. So reasonable assurance is the highest that you can get in any audit. Slide, please. To give you a little taste of the audit and our approach, so our audits are designed to target areas of greater risk. We make our risk assessments by inquiring of individuals here at the school, documenting the school's internal controls, performing analytical procedures, which includes reviewing your historical trend data, budget to actual results, and comparison of actual data to known facts. We'll review your minutes of your board meetings, as well as certain contracts and agreements that obviously have financial impact. We'll do our substantive procedures or test of details. And as also part of the audit, as we mentioned, we look at your internal controls. We do a test of controls over one of your cycles. We usually go back and forth between expenditures and payroll because on the revenue side, we do confirm a lot of your revenue. So this year we did payroll, and I'm glad to also announce that your internal controls were operating as they were designed in our audit. Next slide, please. Okay, this slide is the one that was hard to read. I think it says overall, so your general fund, let's see, That's all right. It's a bad, I should have used a different color. So your general fund decreased by $3.3 million roughly. The main reason was that it was to the capital expenditure that were going on at the school here with the field project. And the fund balance in the capital projects fund also decreased by about $5 million, and that was mainly from transfers from the capital projects fund over to the general fund that kind of reimburses for those expenditures that it had paid for. Okay. Next slide. This is just a quick kind of overview of your general fund. So in the general fund, you can see in 2025, you had revenues of about $45 million. Your expenditures were about $54 million. And then we just like to point out that your federal expenditures and federal revenue were about $2 million. On the expenditure side, you had $42 million in expenditures and $40.6 million the year before. So you were up about $2 million. Next slide. Okay. The general, and you're looking at your general fund revenues, if we look at 2025, your general fund revenues from local sources were about $16.5 million compared to 16.7 the year before. Your state revenues were 26.9 up from 22.8. That really had to do with the increased funding from the state, as well as the tuition charges. And then, again, your federal is the same as on the previous slide, about $2 million a year. Taking a look at your general fund expenditures or spending. So your instructional expenses were at $30.6 million, up from $24.7 the year before. Operating and maintenance was up from 8.8 to 9.3. Transportation was down just a hair from 1.4 to 1.3 million. Your food services expenses went from 1.3 up to 1.4. Your capital outlay, again, that was the big increase there. That was 1.3 the year before and 8.4 this year because of the field project mainly. And then your debt service was up a little bit from $3 million to $3.2 million. Just also pointing out, so if you look at the financial report on pages 12 and 13 of the actual audit are what we call the full accrual statements, which would be like if you were looking at, you know, like a Fortune 500 company or something like this. So in governmental accounting, your fund level, which is what we were looking at, is what you see on a monthly basis, is modified accrual. This means it has receivables and payables. But the full accrual, this will have all your capital assets and all your debt as well. We usually point these out because, as you see here, your total assets were $54 million. Deferred outflows of resources, 28.4. Your total liabilities were $112 million, and your deferred inflows or resources were at $15 million. And you kind of add the first two numbers and subtract the second two there, you get a net deficit of $44.6 million. Again, that's mainly, as we've talked about over the last 10 years, is really due to picking up your portion of the net pension liability at the state level, as well as the other post-employment benefits at the state, state level. Those really drive you into that deficit position. But we've kind of hammered that to death over the last 10 years. You're required by government accounting standards to bring that up, but I did want to at least point out the higher level numbers here. But like I say, the fund level is what you see more on a month-to-month basis. We take a quick look at your budget to actual. So your 25 fiscal year budget at the end had an anticipated surplus of $29,000. You actually finished with a deficit of 3.2, and again, that was because of the construction project for the fields. You had anticipated $46.5 million in revenue, while your actual revenues came in at $45.5 million. So you were at unfavorable variance of about $1 million there. And then you anticipated $51.8 million in expenditures, while your actual expenditures were $54.4 million. So an unfavorable variance there of 2.6, and again, that variance again due to the construction cost. I'm going to kind of take a quick look through your other matrices. So the Department of Education has their financial matrices, which they run off of your financial statements. So we kind of take a look at those as part of the audit and kind of see where you stand. So we'll go through, there's eight of them, so we'll go through those one by one. The first one's going to be your current ratio. Next slide. So your current ratio, so in order to meet this standard, you need a ratio greater or equal to 1.1. The school has a ratio of 2.3, so this matrix you are meeting. Your net ratio is your debt-to-asset ratio. So this one here, your debt ratio needs to be less than or equal to 0.9. So you're pretty close to this one, but you are meeting it. You're at 0.88. Your next one is your day's cash. So to meet this standard, you're supposed to have at least 75 days, or if you're between 45 and 75 days and your one-year trend was positive from the year before, you are at 80 days. You again are meeting this matrix. Your debt service payments / loan covenants. So basically, to meet this, you just have to make sure you're not delinquent and you're in compliance with any debt covenants, and you are. So you meet that matrix as well. Your next matrix is your aggregated three-year total margin. So you're taking your three-year total net income and dividing it by your three-year revenues. So with this one, in order to meet, you're supposed to be positive. As you can see, your aggregate three-year is minus 5.66. And so again, so that actually puts you into the far below standard. Again, the main reason here being, you know, with the construction and the increased expenses and all stuff, you are not in there. So I think that's an easy one to explain to the state. Your next metric is your cash flow. So your cash flow, obviously, they want you to have positive cash and, you know, increase your cash flow in order to meet the matrix from year to year. So you're hoping your cash balances go up. Sometimes I kind of think this is a weird matrix to have because I would think at some point they might say, well, if your cash keeps going up, you're not spending it on the kids or in the school for education. You're in the approaching standard because your three-year cash flow is a positive cash flow. But your cash flow was negative in this current year, once again, because of that large construction project. So you're in the approaching standard there, so, but I think you're fine there. If you go to the next ratio, you're at your debt service ratio. So your debt service ratio needs to equal or exceed 1.1, and you're at 0.34. So this is another one where you're far below the standard, but now that construction project is done, probably start to be able to get it back to the approaching or meet standard. Your enrollment variance. So we calculate this. Well, we might calculate this a little bit different from the state. So we use it just based on the revenue number of total students based on tuition. So we had 2,123 of 2,133 students. So you're at 99.5%. So you're meeting that variance. That does it for the matrices. Just to point out a couple of things in the other related to the audit. Here we like to, you know, let you know that we have full cooperation from management and members of staffs. So with Elias and Debbie and getting us any information we needed, working with them was a pleasure. We had no disagreements with management and there were no waived entries. So everything that we did propose was included in the financial statements. And then just to point out, that, you know, usually it's poor because you had that $2 million in federal revenue expenditures. You are subject to what's called the single audit, which is a compliance audit. The compliance supplement usually comes out in May or June every year. It was delayed until October. And, of course, in October, federal government shut down. So it still has not been issued as of today. So when that comes out, you'll be able to change the single audit. And get that issued, but it doesn't affect your financial wallet. So that's just the point out. There is, I guess, that little piece that's still hanging out. So that, any questions on the audit or the audit results?
Okay.
My only question was this shared with anyone or with, like, the presentation?
A presentation, I hadn't shared it. I was waiting for it tonight, but
okay.
I'm happy to share it with the board.
Okay. I just want to make sure I double check so I have my notes right.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. I only sent it over.
Okay. So. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's move on to the...
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's move on to the head of school report.
Approve it. All right. Somebody needs to approve the on your Zoom settings. I'm going to start. Go to multiple. Just click on multiple.
Oh, not me.
Should be good to go. participants can share something. There we go. That. Okay, so head of school report for November. We have number one, the kitchen in Building 27, which has been a delay for a while now. It's scheduled to be complete next week or so. We anticipate it to be fully operational by December 1st, which is good news, albeit quite late to the party. There has been a kitchen there. It just has been temporary, but a little bit frustrated with the speed at which that project is finished, because we've been on time on just about everything in that building. The second floor permit and construction, CSG is doing this work right now. So the loading of materials is expected to begin over the Christmas break, with the construction scheduled to start on January 5th. So the other thing is that the final budget and saving report will be shared with the board. And the Building 27 committee, which I believe Evan's going to set up a meeting for, with the good news that we actually came under budget by $350,193. So congratulations to the team on making sure that we stayed fiscally responsible on that project. Playground project, we've secured approximately 360 tons of large rocks at no cost to support the development of a natural playground behind Building 27. So this is something that we have as a goal to complete, so the space is ready for next year. Although we're trying to get some of the space behind 27 open up sooner, there are some logistical things and grading that have to be done that may take a little bit longer. But we definitely recognize the fact that Building 27 needs its own space back over there. I'm watching Miss Davis walk her kids in the front, all the way around the building to the fields, and back we go with all the little ducklings following her. And it's a bit of a hoot moment. So we're gonna try to address that as quickly as we can. Philotimo in action. So research indicates the number one way to show appreciation is the gift of time. And we could not agree with that more. So in the spirit of doing this, OCS leadership is gifting time back to staff throughout the holiday season as a heartfelt gesture of gratitude for their hard work, dedication, and philotimo demonstrated by every member of our community this year. So as part of the initiative, the OCS winter soiree number one has been moved to during school day hours, Friday, December 19th from 1 to 4 p.m. instead of Saturday, December 13th. That way we are not taking any time away from folks during the holidays and doing that. Additionally, there's going to be more time given back to teachers that comes in various forms, and I think Juliana is going to speak to that specifically. Or I'm sorry, Jackie is. Jackie will speak to that specifically in the coming weeks. So that can come in the forms of faculty means just being given the time off, or other things that we're doing at the holiday party to help support that. So we look forward to actually sharing some of these things at the winter soiree. So, and of course, we should have very high attendance because it's during our regular operating hours. The recruiting and step up, as you know, even though we're in a new year and it feels like we just started the year, you know, planning for next year happens immediately, and the recruiting cycles begin immediately. So we've already had several events to that effect. We've had open houses already, and now one of the most successful events that we do are these things called step up days. And so it's when kids that are transitioning from one grade band to another but are moving buildings, or going to a different grade band from another school, they get an opportunity to see what it feels like to be in the new program, and they get to go through that whole experience. And we do that. We used to just do it for high school. Now we've trickled this all the way down so that the families and the students get the experience well ahead of time. It helps to prevent attrition, number one, which is really, really important, because as we invest resources to develop our students in all of the different aspects, it would be a shame for other organizations to be getting the benefits of all of these things that we're doing while they move on from our school. So it's critically important that they see all the wonderful things that our schools can offer. So
OCS 8th graders will be visiting the high school on December 15th in this service. 5th graders will have their step-up day in the middle school on December 17th and 18th. So we're really excited about those opportunities as well. Cultural Goals Marking Period 1 awards and accolades were held last week for all grade bands, celebrating both the academic and the culture awards. They were actually very, very, very nice ceremonies on all the levels. The kids were very, very happy, and that was wonderful. The winter concerts are in full swing and will occur December 12th through Thursday, December 18th. And those are really wonderful displays of culture in Pilotimo, so we look forward to having a lot of people attending those things. On the far right, you'll see the holiday concerts. There's holiday concerts on Friday for 6 to 12. And then you have on Monday, you have 3rd to 5th grade immersion. On Tuesday, you have 4th to 5th grade class. On Wednesday, you have the K to 2 immersion. And on Thursday, you have K to 3 class. So our hope is that we can have folks attend, both from the community and from the board. It's a wonderful time to share fellowship with the kiddos. So hopefully we can make it. Transitioning on, I'm going to move to Juliana. Talk about building level updates.
All right. For K through 5, we broke it up by academics and behavior. Our DTGSS, which is our teacher observation system, all goal settings have been completed, and we are focusing on instructional practices and maximizing our student engagement in our round one of observations. For intervention this year, we are in our second cycle already, with looking at growth for all students based on their skills and strengths. We are getting ready next week for our student-led conferences in grades 3 through 5 immersion and 4th and 5th grade FLEF. Immersion K through 2 and FLEF K through 3 will be holding traditional conferences, and they will be moving to student-led conferences in the spring. And some good news, we did hire a teacher for our Voices of the World, Jacob Allen, I believe, and he has recently started, and he will be our 5th specialist in grades K through 3 FLEF and K through 2 immersion. As for behavior, we did our first few of celebrations, which were completed successfully. Some of you did have the opportunity to attend, so thank you for coming. And right now we are meeting with our APs of culture to discuss data. We are holding our second meeting of the year next month. Some upcoming elementary events. We have a Spirit Week, November 17th through the 21st, which is this week. That's going well. I believe we had a fall shirt day and a food day, and I know that we have a sports team day on Friday, so all the kids are excited to participate. The administration, which is the executive leadership team and our principals, have been completing administrative walkthroughs. We just did our immersion building this past Monday, which concluded our K through 5 admin walks. That includes not just members of ELT, but also our principals attend as well. Turkey trot was today. It was a little wet and a little cold, but it was successful. The kids seemed to have a good time. I had the opportunity to see a little bit of it. With funds that they are raising, we are looking for a new slide for the playground for K through 5. And we are looking at doing a cafeteria mural and providing new recess items for the middle school. Lower school specific updates. We had a great turnout for open house with interactive activities. A lot of that included hands-on classroom projects and a visit to Santorini in one of our hallways in the second floor, and they did Olympic Games in their physical education class. They also showcased in the cafeteria after-school activities ranging from soccer shots to reading assist, which is one of our programs that we use for some of our readers who may need additional help. And we also showed students what a lottery looks like in real time to show them that's how we do our admission. They had their K through 9 presentations just this month, Feel Awards, and their first big PBIS cash out, which was Jungle John, which was on Tuesday, I believe. And right now they're also doing some culture building through a pumpkin prize lottery through the announcements, a Friendsgiving potluck with their staff and their Sunshine committee outings and team-led breakfast. So it's really neat what they do at the team-led breakfast. Each team takes a week, and they bring in breakfast for the school. For the immersion building, again, they had their Philo Awards, which were successful, as well as open house. You may have seen pictures online if you are on our Facebook page about our Gobble Fest that happened last Thursday. That was a huge success. Members of the administration team also served lunch, which was nice to see the kids and enjoying their meals. Last week, we had the Delaware Early Literacy Leadership Fellowship, which is also known as ELF, come to a few of our classrooms as part of a walkthrough to give us feedback on our literacy instruction. Those happened in our immersion school. Bridget, were you one of those classes?
Yeah.
You were. the ELLF fellowship that we are working with, we do have our curriculum and instruction team and our principals and assistant principals participating in that initiative. Other updates from the intermediate school. The intermediate school students recently had a mobile zoo come, similar to Jungle John, a little bit different, and that was for their positive behavior this past month. Again, they had their turkey trot as well, and they are in year two of their student-led conferences. So this is not the first time for our students in grades 3 through 12, but it is new for some of our younger kids as they're moving up into the different grade levels. As for middle school, 6th and 8th grade students last week completed their DESA social studies testing, which is a three-year test. It happens for grades 4, 6, and 8 three times throughout the year. For 5th grade and 7th grade, it happens twice, which is in January and in May. Right now, they are working at analyzing data from the first quarter grades to support students who are in need, looking at trends for courses and classrooms, and highlighting students who are having success. The admin team is making great progress on their DTJSS. All their goal setting is complete, and they have less than 10 observations for round one, knowing that the due date is at the end of December. Dr. Petlock, part of his behavior and culture plan, is hosting a morning connection in the meeting, which is where he does like a live stream video with the kids, similar to a morning meeting that you would see in K through 5. Part of that is that if you are earning specific behavior points, you're able to co-host with him. He has so many requests to co-host that he's getting backed up, and he had to put a pause on it because he wasn't able to fill all the spots. So the kids are really buying into it and really enjoying watching it throughout the school day. As of right now, the total number of suspensions compared to last time this year is down 25%. This number represents across the board and not just individual groups. We're doing a data dive with those suspension rates in our December meeting. We are focusing more on interventions for our most affected by suspension groups. Events and celebrations for the middle school. They also held their Philo Awards last Friday on the field. 60 students were recognized for the first quarter events. One of our teachers in the middle school, Brian Meads, has started a flag football intramural season, and there are 80 boys and girls playing, which is a huge turnout. I think a significant bigger turnout than they anticipated. The championship game will be playing a staff team on December 18th, which is a Thursday, weather permitting. They're also holding a bonfire this Friday. The kids usually really enjoy that event. As of right now, they are expecting over 100 kids. And then to also build culture, on the 19th, the last day before break, they're hosting a team lip sync competition. And if you haven't heard, the middle school has broken up into teams by grade levels, and those teams will be preparing a lip sync competition by those teams. The middle school is also working with their staff. They are, after conferences, what they do is keeping in theme with their teams. They have a series of events that include trivia, karaoke, and a spicy food eating challenge. This is just for staff, not for students. This is after conferences, but it's a good way for the teachers to get together and have some fun. Winter sport tryouts are also this week. 23 girls and 32 boys are trying out for basketball, which is a great turnout. And we have 22 boys and 9 girls going out for wrestling. For our high school updates, I'm going to have Ioana talk a little bit about this, if she doesn't mind coming and sitting next to me for a quick moment. We had a visit from a Greek university professor to the high school. Oh, you do? All right, I'll skip it right now. She's going to talk about that in a little bit. Going to this, Ms. Lipson, she had her first marking period award ceremony, which is called the Trident Award Ceremony. Students earn a Trident Award for excellent grades, attendance, and behavior. And for marking period one, we had 99 students qualify, which is a new record for the high school. The CIA team, in addition to Ms. Lipson and the academic administration, we are rolling out a PSAT-SAT prep program. It has fully been rolled out with students, and now that they are able to access their fall PSAT scores, they will have practice in PSAT and SAT topics and questions across all of their classes and in their seminar classes on Wednesday. For their behavior, they're doing a PBIS trip, where on Tuesday, December 9th, they're seeing Zootopia 2. Students are also spending their points on other initiatives and events, and as of right now, behavior has greatly improved over the year, especially with a lot of the incentives that they have provided. For upcoming events, they are also doing student-led conferences next week on Monday and Tuesday. When we return from break, we have just 3 weeks left of school, 2 weeks of classes, and then they have 1 week of step-up day, and then they have half days for midterms from the 16th to the 19th. You go down to the next section, which is curriculum instruction and assessment. For PD, we had LAIRP, which is one of the consulting groups that we work with, conduct a site visit at the end of October. They met with all of our building level administrators, culture teams, and operation managers. Each building and manager received detailed feedback along with clear, actionable next steps for their building. We're also administering a student culture survey as well, with direct feedback provided by the company. For our instruction, CIA is meeting with the building level administration twice a month, and they are discussing and planning professional learning topics for our PLCs and faculty meetings. Classroom walkthroughs are being done by all ALT throughout the month of November, and our coaching cycles have been well underway with our instructional coaches and our CIA team. Back to DTGSS, round one is getting done across the building, and they will all be completed before winter break. And all administrative walkthroughs have been conducted in all of the buildings, knowing that our final walkthrough is scheduled for tomorrow, which is at the middle school. For assessments, the high school had a successful fall administration of the PSAT 8-9 and PSAT NMSQT on October 8th. Fourth grade students had their DESA social studies test on November 5th. Sixth and eighth grade had theirs on November 12th. All OHA students have also completed their DESA social studies test. Fifth grade students are participating in theirs January 13th for fifth grade and January 15th for seventh grade. This is a NAEP testing year for Odyssey. We are a testing year every 2 years. Eighth grade students will be tested on February 19th and fourth grade students will be tested on March 4th. Those students are randomly selected. We do not have a list of those students yet, but they are provided to us, I'd say, probably by the end of December. As for our ML update, which is our multilingual learners, they are preparing for parent-teacher conferences, and they are looking forward to connecting with their families and sharing student progress with them. That was a big push for our ML team to be a part of those conferences, knowing that they're working with those students on a weekly basis. After our winter break, they're going to start looking at their preparation lessons for their access testing, which will be taking place in February. There you go.
Okay.
Lots of stuff. Lots of good things happening.
Thank you.
Yeah. Julie. We had Deborah go, so we'll move to Joshua.
For transportation, we received word from Wolfington Body Company that there are new and used buses that are ready for purchase. The details of the purchase have been sent to the board. Aaron, I did get your email and I have those answers. If you want them now.
Yeah, I'm Bridget, but yeah.
Bridget, sorry.
Okay.
I'm nervous. So the amount of students, you wanted to know the amount of students that currently ride the bus for both 6 to 12 and K to 5. Currently 1,038 are assigned for grades K to 12 and then 1,031 for K to 5. Total is 2,069. The amount of students that could be accommodated at this time would be 1,088 high school, middle school, and 1,103 intermediate and lower, total of 2,191. The projected increase of students for the upcoming school year based on, it's going to be based on opening building 27's top floor. It would be approximately 300 students. And then the amount of students that can be accommodated with the new bus purchase is approximately 220 students in grades 6 to 12 and 288 students in grades K to 5. We were asking for approval to move forward with three brand new buses, total $130,000 each for a total of $390,000. We would save approximately $75,000 by buying them now instead of waiting until next summer when we would typically do it. In addition to one used 2023 school bus priced at $99,300. Total cost for all four buses is $489,300. And we would finance through Santander Bank, like we always do. Our approved back of campus renovation to convert that area to a bus lot is moving along. We have approximately 35 bus spaces that are mapped out and 39 car parking spots. It's going to allow buses to be kept on our property, saving us money and increasing our efficiency for all of our students. And our on-time percentage for our buses, we updated in the last meeting that, you know, we're increasing our efficiency and on-time percentage. We are currently at 99%, above 99% for all of our Odyssey routes. So I've linked that in screenshots of the dashboard in the board minutes. Obviously, in September, we know no matter where kids are going to school, it's going to be hectic as you get back to school. So we definitely sent out messages at the beginning of the school year, letting everybody know, thank you for your patience, things like that. And then we got into the dashboard online. We usually start that in October because that's when everybody falls back into the routine and we can start capturing real data. For October, the 6 to 12 grade bands, we did 200 routes and 99% on time. For K to 5, it was 180 routes, and we were 100% on time for those. For November so far, we've done approximately 280 routes, and we were 99.2% on time. And K to 5, we were 252 routes, and we were 99.6% on time. And we define a late bus as 10 minutes after arrival is complete and 10 minutes after dismissal is complete. So anytime a bus falls in that time frame, we count them as late.
Thank you. Do we need to discuss for the bus purchases? Is that for this meeting? Or? Okay. I have a question for the finance director. I mean, I know we had significant savings from the building. I heard $350,000 there, and we had some savings too in the transportation department with the parking allocations, et cetera. So this amount is for $500,000 more or less. How will that affect our, you know, debt to asset ratios and other, the audit for next year? What is your prognosis?
Yeah. So right now, I need to manage that, especially now that we will take the park off site. That's going to be a huge thing for us and probably going to wash out quickly. And there are also definitely runs and routes for new schools that we will be going to Philadelphia. And we can't do these runs unless we get more buses. So the bus cost will be directly associated with the additional runs that will be free. So our confidence is this year will be fine with the business for buses. And then they'll have our
Are there any questions from those in attendance?
Yeah.
How long is it going to take for the bus lot to be done? The back of the...
So currently we're moving through the survey phase.
Okay. With
the surveyors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying about 6 months to a year, start to finish with notifying the public, getting permits, all that good stuff. So that.
A while back we talked about the cameras, the new cameras on the buses. Were those installed and how were they working in terms of like behavior and things like that?
They have all been installed. Typically we can pull video depending on the connection speed, how long the video is, like that, how many cameras the administrator wants video from. A lot of the time we can pull that before the route's even finished and send it to the administrator. So anytime they request it, we have it set up so that when the bus is back to the yard, we have 4 hours to request that video from the bus to automatically start the dump. That's not saying that video won't be there when it turns back on. It's just we have the system on and active, ready for that request.
Is the bus driver like even request that if they like are made aware of an incident? Is there a quick way that they can be like, yeah, we're gonna need?
They can. So there's a panic button for each bus. So as soon as they hit the button, it pulls 2 minutes after the button press and 2 minutes after the button press, and it'll automatically upload that.
Do we have any other questions?
Yeah, this is Dimitri.
I have a question on the on-time percentage. Is there any mechanism in place that can measure, I guess, when they're picking up and dropping off at the stops as opposed to just at the school?
There's not.
Not without geolocating and latitude, longitude, and
correct
a lot of data.
Right. Only because each stop, if it's not in the exact place each time, the system's not going to capture it. But we can definitely go back to the provider of our new software that got approved for see if that's an option.
And there's a lot of things that you can't account for, and that is the traffic jam between stops.
Right.
It's good to see that we're still arriving at school on time. Right. We're still picking up, leaving on time.
Right.
That's all. Other question with regards to the loan. While we're going to have some offset with being able to bring parking on site with some of the other routes that we'll be doing. You mentioned though that we would still be financing these through Santander. What kinds of, are you able to discuss like the terms of those loans? Like how long are those, is that loan going to, is that a?
Yeah, we have to go over the thing.
Okay. Got it. What have they typically been in the past? I mean, we're talking about like auto loan, 50, 60, 72 months.
They're well below.
Well below that.
They're below prime.
Yeah, don't take a 50-year mortgage on.
Yeah.
This is Dimitri Dandolo.
Right.
I have a question.
Could we have a motion then to purchase 3 new buses for $390,000 plus a used bus for a total of $489,300 and to finance this through Santander, and that information will be coming back to us in terms of the rates and terms?
Yeah.
You motion?
Yeah.
Okay, Costas motions. Do we have a second?
Georgia, Dimitri was trying to ask a question.
All those approve?
Georgia.
Any nays? All right. Motion to purchase 3 new buses and 1 used for $489,300 passes. Thank you. The next order of business is the Greek program. Ioana, would you give us that report?
So for us, we finished the first quarter, and all this period was a period of reinforcing expectations with students and coaching and mentoring our teachers, veteran teachers, new teachers. We have many new teachers this year. Also, there is a very strong activity behind the scenes in planning for next year. So 2026 will be the first year of immersion in high school. For us, it's a huge milestone after all these years in elementary and middle school. And we are planning really a bold program for immersion with a Hellenic Studies pathway, with a CPE pathway in Greek, and dual enrollment classes with local U.S. universities. So I'm in communication with at least 2 universities, and they are very, they want to work with us. So I think it's going to happen, but still we're in planning, so I cannot share too many information about that. But our vision, as you know, is not just K-12 for the immersion, it's K-16. So we are working to secure high standard collaboration with undergraduates and graduate programs in the United States. And on the other hand, I'm working also with the Greek state and Greek universities to explore possibilities for our immersion students and for any students with advanced Greek language proficiency to go to Greece and study English. It's very possible that our students will be able to go in Greece and complete their BAs there in Greek for free. There is one more possibility, though, for our students to choose a BA program in English, go to Greece, study for 4 years at a very low rate. Right now, there are between $9,000 and $12,000 a year, depending on the program. So this initiative is not our initiative. It's an initiative from Greece with all the Greek universities, the public Greek university. It's called Study in Greece. You can find it online also with a report of their activities and all the programs that they offer, BAs and masters. And 2 weeks ago, that's what Julia and I wanted me to present before. And we had the honor to host a committee visiting Odyssey from Athens in New York to present exactly this program, the Study in Greece. We had Professor Michalakelis, who is the president of the Study in Greece initiative. We had Professor Stamkopoulos, who is the director of the Office of Education of the Greek Archdiocese of America. And Mr. Lakokoli, who is the president of the Greek Teachers in America Federation. So we gathered high school students, 11th grade non-immersion students, and all our 8th grade students. And Mr. Michalakelis gave them a presentation about this opportunity to study in Greece, either in Greek or in English, and get their BA in Greece, and also have the experience of being a student in Greece, which is wonderful. It's very unique. It's very different. Another item that I'm working on is outreaching to the community of our families. So beginning of November, I held a meeting, a virtual meeting with 5th grade immersion families to present them the immersion model in middle school, because it's different, totally different than the elementary immersion model. In about 10 days, I will hold a meeting with our current 8th grade immersion families to present them the model in high school. And my last item, as always, I keep the more happy item for the end. It has to do with the visibility of our school. So the visibility continues in the press. A few days ago, and we didn't know, so somebody notified me, they sent me the link. Our school, our admin team, and the Greek program were featured in an excellent article in Flash GR, with the Hellenic Greek news outlet on the occasion of the immersion building opening, and they gave a very holistic presentation of the school, of the immersion, of the Greek program, of Odyssey. It was really a wonderful article. I posted it. I will post it on the Facebook page so you can see it and I can send it to everybody. Any questions?
You want to which universities in Greece
In this initiative, in the study in Greece, there are almost all the big universities. So it's the Athenon, the Thessaloniki, the Dikimas Macedonia, Xanthis, Patras, Ioannina, all the big universities. It's a very, they have done a great job. And they do that. They started about 2 years ago when the private universities became an opportunity in Greece. So they came all together and they try, instead of starting private universities, they changed their programs to accept international students in Greece. And that was not the case 2 years ago.
It's going to be 12,000 euros this week, about $15,000, plus another $15,000. For entry, it's close about $10,000. Yeah, once a year, whatever it is.
And there are many other opportunities for free. So there are fellowships. If our students get, I want to secure that 100%, but right now there is a program like that. If the students have passed the B2 level of Ellinomathia, they can enter the Greek universities and get enrolled in programs in Greek for free. So the program is free. Everything is free.
Is there any opportunity or just chance for the students to start from here, they begin until they go to Greece, but they have an early starting, even from here, online.
And you then mean like a
that's the hope.
Like a dual enrollment?
No, just to say I want to continue in Greece, whatever it is, and I start from now and early before I go there.
An so online program? There are many online, not programs, but certificates, preparation, there are
these. Sometimes now it's getting much better.
Yeah, through universities. So they offer like 9 month programs. So it's not BAs, there are certificates, different kinds of programs.
I'm going to be there. What about
Cyprus as well? Actually, last year,
before the Empire,
we started with Cyprus. Yeah. So the first presentation that we had for our audience students was last year, the beginning of last year, from the University of Cyprus.
Yeah.
And then, back then, Greece was not ready, but now Greece is ready. And the options are many more.
It's interesting. They have MBA?
BA. BA. Bachelor's, MBA. Bachelor's and Master's. Yeah.
Oh, just that. Very good.
Okay. Thank you. I understand there might be a sound issue. Is someone trying to ask a question or speak that are online?
Yes, Georgia. Can you hear me? This is Dimitri. Can you guys hear me?
Could you?
I'm cycling through to see if it's different.
His audio is on now.
Well, you're unmuted.
Yes, I am on, but can you hear me?
Okay,
yes, we hear you now.
Yeah. The question I have is for the buses. Do we have any financial analysis that shows its impact on the transportation and also on the general budget?
Could you repeat that question, Dimitri?
Is there a financial analysis on this capital expenditure of $500,000? That should reflect the impact of this investment on both the transportation budget, but also the budget of the school.
So you mean adjusting the preliminary budget to incorporate
this
in there?
He asked whether there was a financial analysis on that spending of $500,000. We touched on that question earlier, but you might want to respond to him again if there was a more specific.
Yeah, of course. The people look at the cost and the analysis with the transportation budget to make sure that that was something that we would be able to swing and what quantifications we could make to the budget to ensure we would go that and just the two highlighted areas moving forward was the parking issue. That was the big one, because we spend $4,000 a month on just the parking. And then we were specifically asked directly to help with several runs in Philadelphia. And we did a cost analysis of what we would be receiving from those doing those runs. We were able to essentially wash that out.
Dimitri, did you hear the answer?
Every other word. I'm sorry. But if there is a financial analysis, could we see it, please?
Could you bring that analysis to our next board meeting? And yeah, there was one done. That's what I understand. And there were savings recorded and assessed so that it was determined that those funds were doable in short form. But she will bring the analysis to you at the next meeting. Are you okay with that?
It may be a little too late. I would like us to see with numbers how $500,000 in investment. I'm sure we need the buses, but I'd like us to see the impact of this $500,000 prior to voting on this matter. I think that the rest of the board should feel that way.
He had a speaker issue with the computer that has obviously noticed.
This is the revenue. This gets our bottom line.
Sure. So having our $600,000 a year.
Right. So having these buses is going to allow us to do these additional runs, allow us to take on more charter work. Outside of just Odyssey. We're also looking at other savings with our radio systems, with our camera systems. Obviously, we've already talked about the parking lots, but at the end of the day, we're going to be saving by buying these buses now instead of waiting till next school year. The amount that we would be saving is... I want to say it was $75,000.
Right, that's what you had said. So what I'm understanding is the revenue from the additional student riders is greater than the cost that is being requested.
Part of our enterprise mission, right? It gets to the bottom line, it gets more dollars to students, the tune of $600,000 to $1 million per year, depending on what our capacity is. To be able to use the buses as an enterprise feature. That said, the enterprise feature has never intersected with the busing of our students. I can't say that in more certain terms than that. There is no intersection between what is done in enterprise and what is done transporting kids back and forth here whatsoever. They just don't interact with each other.
Having said that, we have voted on the buses, and we understand that the impact is positive at the end of the day, but I do agree with Dimitris that had we not any sound issues, it would have been beneficial to come with the proposal along with the financial analysis that shows the positive impact at the end of the day of doing that. I think the numbers are very important to members of the board to be able to vote more confidently in the future. That's okay.
Sure.
Thank you. Is there someone else who was unable to speak and wanted to?
Yes, I have one more question for Elias. We are getting 350 tons of film material on the property. Do we know? Do we know the source of this material? Where is it coming from?
Cirillo?
Did you hear me?
Cirillo. Cirillo donated them.
Yes, I appreciate that. But did Cirillo say where this material is coming from? Where is he getting it from?
It's coming from the construction right out here.
The construction that's taking place at Wegmans, where they're rebuilding
those townhomes and whatnot, they had a surplus of rocks available from digging up the foundations that they were willing to donate.
Okay, this is what I recommend. This is a substantial amount of backfill. However, what we need to have on our records is that this material is coming from a certain location and that it's clean fill. It is not contaminated with anything that we want to put on our ground. So if we can get that information with some kind of a manifest that shows that this material is clean, then I think it would be good for us to accept it. The second question I have on this issue is, where exactly is this material going to be placed on the property?
Behind building 27, where we need to backfill tremendously.
Okay, this area may have what's called riparian issues. It may be a buffer. And what before we place any material there and we disturb that area directly behind the school, we need to go through our record plan and Callum Diasanis to make sure that we can disturb that area by backfilling. It may be a protected area. And before we do anything to disturb that, we also need to have some kind of an evaluation by our civil engineer that allows us to do that. So these are the two items that I have on the buses and on the 350 tons of material coming on campus.
Some very good points.
That's very standard operating.
I mean, the very good points, given the source of that backfill, it that is in this area that was all industrial and chemical company related, that backfill be tested and okayed. I think that's a very, very good point. And then the second one on the civil engineering, okay. I don't know a lot about that, but it sounded valid to me.
Those are all standard.
Are there any?
Actually, give us dirty rocks.
Is the playground project going to be encompassed with Building 27 project, or is it like is that going to be talked about in that committee meeting?
What they want to do with the playground, we talked about.
Okay.
But there's significant backfill. It doesn't. It actually doesn't protrude the area that we're referring to. It's right in front of it. There's a big slope, and so we have to build it up so that we can level it off, possibly put a deck or whatever Building 27 committee said they would want to do at the end of it. And, you know, we don't have that back there, so help me.
Yamika, could you hear Elias's response?
Yes, I did, and I hope that we can do that. I mean, I'm not against it. It's just that we need to make sure that we do not violate any provisions of our record plan and this particular space that may have what's called riparian buffer protections. That's all. We clear that, we're good to go.
Yeah, all of these are done. We run all of this column every time. We have to do it with permits anyway. We're not doing anything that's not permitted.
Okay. Is there any further discussion or any other questions? Okay.
I just want to clarify. Is Dimitri formally requesting the financial analysis, the bus purchases for the next meeting?
Yes.
For the next meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Before we move on, I just want to apologize for the audio issue. We had an unknown issue with the sound that has been resolved. So Ava and me, just sorry for missing your comments prior to, and thank you to the attendee who brought it to my attention.
Okay. The next order of business is out-of-state travel. Do we have any approvals that the board must give?
Still have about four sections.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, okay. Let's go.
There's a lot.
To be continued. Okay.
I'm back.
speaking on behalf of Sun, unless she is in the Zoom, which I do not believe she is. An update for our special education department. They are working at standard aligned IEPs with the University of Delaware. For the month of November, they had a PLC focus on best practices for progress reporting, also adapting our general curriculum and teaching our spec ed teachers on how to provide appropriate accommodations and relevant modifications to the students on their caseload. That work was led by Sun Boy and Jackie Serbo, who was our instructional coach on the special education department. They are also providing professional learning for our paraprofessionals, or also known as our paraeducators, on effective and high leverage practices. The four areas that they are working on are collaboration, assessment, instruction, and social emotional behaviors. From our IT department, IT is preparing for the immersion school second floor work, where they are going to start pulling cables in December, which is exciting. That was a lot of work that they did over the summer on the first floor, and we saw firsthand what that involved. So they are getting a jump start on it now by starting next month. They are installing Huddle game cameras at the Grail and Athletic fields. The cameras were ordered. They're just awaiting a shipping date. These are going to allow for live streaming. They recently completed a project with Infinite Campus. We faced an error last year where we were not able to have our transcripts moved to our report cards. That is corrected. We fixed it. So that is not going to be a problem moving forward. And as of right now, we are upgrading all of our climate and culture assistant principals to TVs that are about the size so that they're able to see all of the cameras and angles in their building. Our next update is going to come from Human Resources. And Renee, I believe you are online.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
In IT, so I don't know if
you might have the answer.
Do we know about the lighting all the way back?
Yes. The lighting was mentioned. The lighting up here has also been brought to our attention as well. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw it when you came in. We are addressing that.
Okay.
Yep. I do know
them.
Good thing. Renee, are you available?
She was on.
If not, I know this too. So Elias has been working as a primary mentor for all developing and newly certified leaders through our DPATH mentoring program for administrators. This year, the cohort includes Katie Manley, who is our assistant principal in the middle school of climate and culture, Robert Boyd, who is our assistant principal of culture and climate in the intermediate school, Dr. Wakaku, and myself, as well as Nikki Tantalou, who is the principal of the immersion building. This initiative helps maintain continuity within our mission and vision while also supporting us to build our capacity and leadership. Right now, we are partnering with DOE on a strategic recruiting and internal leader growth and participating as cohort 4 in the leadership program. We are working with Dr. Okaku and I are serving on that team, and along with Renee Beamer, Karen Erskine, and Cindy, who is on our human resources team. With that, we are looking to apply for a grant to provide us with resources on how to build our principal pipeline within our own staff and what we can do to build leadership capacity at Odyssey. We piloted a FADMIN program last year, FADMIN standing for fake admin. it was born out of one of the interviews we conducted. Where we are looking at creating opportunities to grow leaders from within Odyssey. This pilot emerged from several high-performing interviews and a need to develop internal leadership capacity. So building on that momentum that we had, our ELT team is working on a Build the Bench program where we have people that we reached out to, all of our principals, who they believe are set up and ready for moving into leadership positions, whether that is working for a position in operations, a position on the CIA team, becoming a team leader, department leader, or if they're looking to move to like an administration role, and giving them those opportunities to build their capacity and get experience within the school. We are finalizing all those details as part of that Delaware Pipeline Principal Program that we're working with. And once everything is finalized, we're going to communicate it to all staff, and it will be open to all staff to see if they're interested. A lot of those members are people who are currently getting their leadership certification as well. We have our recruiting fair on February 26th. They are planning for that, advertising and branding. That is also our preview night for the school. So that is a big event if you guys want to save the date. Odyssey Charter School University went live last month and continues to be built out as a staff resource. Work has begun on the development of a leadership handbook and leader-specific section to OCS University platform. That was one of the big feedback that we received, is that we have a staff handbook, and we have a student code of conduct, but we do not have a leadership handbook. And moving into those roles, what are the guidelines for those positions? All right, I'm going to pass this one to you.
Yeah.
Okay. It's yours now.
All right, I'll do
so. Updates on facilities. We've done a lot. As was mentioned earlier, we've been doing walkthroughs in all the buildings to identify things that need to be attended to in every single one of the buildings. For Building 22, with obviously overall with the age of the facilities, there has to be consistent upkeep that's taken into consideration. Consistent painting and cleaning and things like that, that are systematic, not just, what you do with your custodians. So for Building 22, we conduct these walkthroughs, we look at these things. On November 4th, there was a facilities brought in a professional environmental testing company to conduct formal testing, specifically in that area. Samples from four different areas of the building, including the cafe, were sent to a certified lab, Eurofins built environmental testing in Marlton, New Jersey for analysis, and all tests came back normal with no further action required from that particular building. The full lab report is attached as well. Verification, and this is the second time that we've done that work in a couple of years to make sure that it continues that way. We did a walkthrough of Building 21 as well on the 20th, and we were able to determine what we needed to do in this specific area as well. One of the things that you may have noticed is that all of the buildings have been repainted on the inside as well. So in addition, and that's obviously one of the key components for us, is to make sure the facility looks nice and clean. Now we're looking at floors again, which ones need to be shampooed, which ones need to be polished again as we get through these breaks to be able to do it. We're also doing the black rock paving in the back over here, behind what is this, 21-22 combination. And so that's going to turn into like mini basketball courts. Is that correct? Yeah. Mini basketball courts for the students. And we're doing seal coating, for all the asphalt as well in that area. 34,000 square feet of it. So it's a pretty big project. While we had hoped to complete this stuff, over the summer, some of it was not able to be done because of the traffic with the construction. So some of these projects are bleeding over. With asphalt, we kind of have a very tight deadline because it's going to get too cold very soon. So we're trying to push to get these things done in the next week or two. Hallways, as we talked about, and stairwells were all painted throughout the entire campus. And there's more painting that will resume in Building 22 on the 17th. And we're also scheduling the final painting of the stairwell in Building 26 and accent walls to be painted in Building 27 for December. We've been systematically replacing stairwells because of the trip hazards that have been created from some of the carpet. So you can see like this one over here was done, and we're going through them one at a time to get those done. And we also have a phased plan to get rid of as many of these lovely carpets as we can and as our budget affords. So that's been a big initiative in terms of making sure that we do that. Building 26, 27, we identified that Gaga pit is not good, so we're removing it. And so that should be removed very soon. And we're also replenishing the mulch back there as well, because we identified there were some clear spots. So we're having all that area remulched right now as well. We got that through our walkthrough as well. So for food services, things are going pretty smoothly on breakfast and lunches. They did a pretty good job during the open house as well. They're also piloting classroom parties now in November
which is a wave that they can, you know, actually help with supporting the students with smart snacks and allergies and things like that, while also allowing them to have a little bit of fun. And keeps things safe, you know, when kids have those birthday parties and that kind of stuff that they like to have. It also expands our access overall, so that's good for us as well. I am now going to stop. Is Jackie on?
Yes.
Jackie's ready because there's a lot that she has to talk about, fundraising and development.
Absolutely. Jackie. So much. I will say I've been working with Evie on the classroom parties, and we are excited that we have been able to have over 11 different requests already. So we're moving and grooving with the classroom parties and eager to continue the success from it and roll it out campus-wide. So more to come with that as well. I'm going to start with events. So we had hosted our K-12 open house. I know Juliana spoke to the success of that. I can give you some data around that. We asked that all families complete a satisfaction survey as to their experience and any additional follow-up questions from the event. So we ended up with a 4.7 out of 5 overall experience. So we were very pleased with our showing, and families really also thought that what they saw was great. Any families that had additional questions, they have been followed up with directly, so we can continue that enrollment push and really make families feel confident in their decision to apply and stay at Odyssey. We also had an event last week, so thank you to Georgia for hosting with the Hellenic University Club for their event. It was a great success, so we are excited that that had happened for us. I know it was also spoken about, but we did have our Marking Period 1 celebrations, and so we were happy to honor all of the students that were working hard and growing in both academics and culture throughout all buildings and all campus. We also talked about the 5th and 8th grade step-up days. So these are anecdotally one of the favorite days of students that are an opportunity to really leverage what it feels like to be in the next grade, to be the next in the next building. So 5th graders come up and have a whole day of programming with the middle school, and 8th grade students get to go into high school and see academics, see clubs, see athletics, see what the spirit of the school and how they can see themselves in that role the upcoming school year. So we can't wait to showcase that. January 27th, we do have the Greek Heritage Night at the 76ers. Because they are, in fact, 76, not 7. So please continue to spread the word. I will continue to message out to everybody about the event. And it's going to be a fun night. It's always great performances by our Odyssey community, and we can't wait to have you there. Additionally, we have our gala the same week, so it's just an Odyssey-themed week. On January 31st, it's going to be Saturday at Blue Ball Barn, so please be on the lookout for all of that information forthcoming. Switching over to our grant section, Elias and I were in Miami, and we pitched for the YAS alumni grant, so we were very pleased with that. We were excited to be able to network with outstanding innovators across the country and represent Odyssey in that cohort of people. We applied for the Innovation Grant, and that supports CTE programming. That's career and technical education programming that happens in middle school and high school. So we will wait to hear on that it's a state-funded grant. We also applied to the Bridge to Practice Grant. So Secretary Martin really is pushing early literacy and aligns with our vision on being literate readers and using that as the key to success. So Odyssey put forth an application, and we should be hearing back tentatively. December 19th is the deadline to hear back from that. We will be applying for the Global School Prize. That is going to be November 30th deadline. And just found out this afternoon, so hot off the press, Odyssey was awarded an additional $20,000 for the 2026 Community Environmental Project Fund Award, And that is sponsored by the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. This and the funding that we've received for the DDEA and the Whole Kids will really allow Odyssey to have one of the best urban farm programs in the country. And so, again, putting Delaware and Odyssey on the map, representing what great things are happening with our students and with our programming. Switching over to our enrollment, we have open enrollment that is currently active. So students are and their families are able to continue to apply for our different programming K to 12, actually K to 11. But we have 450 applications as of last Friday, and one-third of those applications are directly related to kindergarten students. So we are excited to be pulling a strong number of kindergartners to really set the stage for a solid K to 12 trajectory foundation. With some of more of that data, it's a 2-to-3 ratio of kindergarten applications for the immersion program to the FLES program. So, again, we are excited that people are interested in both programs and excited for what that means for our 2026-2027 school year. Delaware today, we know, has become an official partner of Odyssey, so we're going to continue to promote Odyssey in a specific targeted way. You'll see that from Delaware today, and it will align with everything that we have been working on here. We are also putting together a marketing campaign for opportunities to fundraise for the athletics through both the Grail and the fields. So that is an opportunity that we are going to capitalize on to really involve the community more in an intentional way that is also giving us a revenue for the school. Elias spoke about it earlier, but we are really taking on the initiative of granting time. We recognize the work that everybody does, staff, teachers, every single person is giving their all. They're following that arete motto that we have embraced this school year. And so to recognize and to honor that, we are providing those gifts of time specific in this holiday season to start it off, just giving thanks and giving appreciation for their demonstration of philotimo and their unconditional hard work that they give to Odyssey. So like we have kind of previewed and teased with everybody, it is going to start off with some faculty meetings have already been canceled, just again to give that gift of time back to staff that have worked so hard. And it will include late arrivals. It will include shifting a little bit of schedules just to honor what they've been committing and giving to the school. And then my final piece is the PTO update. So I am just representing Kaya and the PTO and Carrie. So the Turkey Trot has happened today. We were very happy with the success of the event. Again, a little cold, a little rainy, but it didn't dampen the spirits in the slightest. So we thank everybody for their participation with that. And upcoming events, we have the Joe Corby fundraiser pickup. So that is going to happen out of the small gym, and that will begin on Friday, 21st. And we have the holiday shop beginning in December after Thanksgiving break. So that begins for kindergarten to eighth grade students, December 8th. And another Saturday event sponsored by the PTO will be our Breakfast with Santa in the OCS cafeteria.
I have just a couple of comments. Jackie, this is great. I'm very impressed by your presentation. I didn't hear that sort of PR overview before. I wanted to ask about the press releases that go out, for example, for that $20,000 grant from DenRec, which is terrific. It's a very positive thing, and I'm curious as to whether a press release went out on that. That's my
It has
question.
Not. I quite literally just got an email during the board meeting about it, so I have not had the time to turn it around, but it will in fact be recognized and given its appropriate accolades.
And my second and last comment was it would be great, I think, for members of the board to maybe on a monthly or bi-monthly basis get a top line report of press clippings on the school, just so that we sort of have a hand on the heartbeat of the positives and any negatives, you know, just a press clippings report on what's been mentioned about the school in the press, and of course any press releases that went out that spurred, you know, any articles, etc. It'd be good for the board to see that.
I love it.
That's all.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Safety and security.
Good.
Voice are you sick of hearing? So, safety and security, new vestibule doors in building 21, upgraded doors in building 22 were installed at the end of October. We're continuing to address several smaller single door repairs, which based on assessment require repair rather than full replacement. Thank goodness that saves money. We're also evaluating the new safety door closure devices designed for ease of use during lockdown procedures. A lower school parent and Evan have been collaborating on the school safety enhancement, and they're currently reviewing the product samples to see if one of them fits our safety plan. Our goal is to identify the most effective and cost-efficient option and have closures installed or supplied to teachers by the start of the 26-27 school year. So it would add another layer of protection at every single classroom. We're also working with the state to determine whether funding will be secured for a second constable or whether this is just going to need to be incorporated into the budget. The intent is to provide dedicated constable coverage for 6 to 12 and K to 5, and coordinated but separate schedules. Out-of-state travel, we have I will be traveling to Washington, D.C. for the YAS Power of Innovation Summit on 12-3 to 12-4. Spring break Myrtle Beach High School baseball training trip is March 14th to 18th. And then there was that thank you is from Priscilla, right? It was she sent something that she said she forgot to get it in the minutes or whatever. So that one was sent out as well. There also is a need to approve the wellness policy.
Put in there for, say, I don't know if you guys approved it the last board meeting.
It hasn't been approved, so if we could just make sure it gets approved this time, that would be greatly appreciated.
So, yeah, I had missed something on the last board meeting. I did send an email. The board was kind enough to be obliged. I apologize for missing that. But, yes, the Clemson Park 2, it was not approved during a board meeting.
Okay. I think that's finally it.
Could we have a motion to approve? Is there any discussion first on out-of-state travel? Could we have a motion to approve out-of-state travel for Elias and for our baseball team and for Fisula that's already happened? Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All those approve?
Aye.
All those disapproving? Okay, motion to approve out-of-state travel passes as presented. Now, the second point is the wellness policy. Were we sent this in advance?
It's been in the board in the meeting minutes, I want to say, like the past 2 months. So if you wouldn't mind taking just a moment,
I just found it in the executive summary.
Yeah.
So I had
yeah,
a short ready.
Okay. Any discussion on the wellness policy? Could someone give us just a brief overview of it before we vote on it?
So it's something that is required by the state that we need to push out to our parents, and knowing that it's a policy, it needs to be approved by you guys. But it's basically saying that we are putting forth health and wellness when it comes to not only our food at lunch, but mm-hmm. breakfast, talking about our classroom.
Education, like health education.
Yeah. Our events, our curriculum, making sure that our nutrition lessons and our health curriculum specifically. You can see, I put it up on here, making sure that we are serving healthy snacks and beverages, that we are not using non-food rewards in our classes, so not passing out candy, but using some other sort of incentive. I know that Evie does, I believe she has a committee for this, and this is where it was drafted.
Yeah. Okay. I feel comfortable enough to
yeah.
motion.
It is something that we've had before. I believe she just made minor adjustments to it to reflect things that were pushed out by the state.
All right. Could I have a motion to approve the wellness policy, please, as presented?
Yep. I'll move.
And a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion passes to approve the wellness policy or the wellness policy as on here. Okay.
So we need the.
Do
we have full vote?
All in favor?
Yeah.
I think we're just calling for the all in favor.
I don't think we called for that.
We did. I guess we did.
We got the motion to approve and we got a second, but we still need to approve it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Motion passed. The next item on the agenda, do we have a report from the CBOC? Okay. A report from the Finance Committee. We did the PTO report. Yeah. Is there any new business? Any new business?
I had in my notes from last meeting something about discussing the governance committee. We can wait till Ken gets back and he knows more about that, but I just still had it in my notes from the last 80 minutes.
Okay. Is there anything for the good of the school that anyone would like to say?
Yes, I would like to make a note that UNESCO, a couple of weeks ago, finally voted on assigning February 9th of every year World Greek Language Day. That motion was made at the beginning of the year and it had passed the executive committee, but a couple of weeks ago in Uzbekistan, a couple of hundred nations voted to honor the Greek language with February 9th as a World Greek Language Day. February 9th was picked because it's the birthday of our national Greek poet, Dionysios Solomos. And having said that, I think that our school should look into some kind of an honoring of that day in the form of a celebration or student awareness and so on and so forth. But I will allow that this kind of decisions to be made by our Greek department and our school teachers and administration.
We are already doing that, Dimitri.
For years now. The National Greek Language Day every February 9th.
And Mother Tongue.
Mm-hmm. Mother Tongue.
She doesn't think that you're starting to push it into one. Nothing wrong with that. Against the whole
thing. So we do that since that's an opportunity. All our classes of Blessed Immersion we celebrate the day every year. And then we chose one or two classes every year and we do something very special. So for the last 6 years, we have our immersion students, the more advanced students, take interviews in Greek from Greek personalities. So last year we had a writer, before that we had a Greek Panagiotis Grabas, who is the director of the movies, and he's a member of the Oscars committee, so he was online with us and they really enjoyed that. And before that, we had an actor with us. So it's a big deal. It's a big day for us. We always do something. And we have also English language teachers do something in their classrooms to celebrate it, not only the big time.
Could you hear that, Dimitri?
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that. And sorry for
not
knowing these kind of things.
Give me more good.
You should start from the nearby.
Okay. Any further good of the school comments? Can we move to adjourn this meeting?
Move we adjourn.
Do I have a second?
Sorry.
No, yes.
Ken mentioned that we have the possibility to go to an executive session. Are we doing that or are we not?
No.
Yeah.
Is there a reason to?
I think he said it and mentioned it. Yeah.
Oh, we do have one motion. Sorry. Elias mentioned, and this is something we had done last year, wanting to postpone the December board meeting into January because it falls into a very, very busy week for the students and for the faculty and for the school community. As we had done last year, we would like to hold that meeting in January if there's no objection. Did I present that correctly? Okay. So,
and most of maybe encouraging members to re-gift that time towards going to one of the concerts.
Good point. Good point. Because it also falls in the week of all these wonderful concerts between December 12th and 18th. So that the board members can attend those musical concerts. Can I have a motion to okay that postponement until January?
Yes.
Plus just motions. Do I have a second?
A second.
Thank you. All those that approve?
Aye.
Aye.
All any disapproval? Okay. Motion passed to move the board meeting of December to January.
I do think we should meet in the executive session. I don't think it'll take long, but.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay. You would
second.
Like us to meet in the executive session.
Okay. And I second.
Okay.
All right. We will break then for an executive session for the members here.
And we're not going to vote on them.
Although I would like to say that perhaps Ken should be here for that executive session.
He said in his email we will continue to that.
Okay.
And if we're not going to meet.
There's no decisions being made. It's just a discussion.
Okay. That's fine then. Great. So we will break for executive session. Can you help me do that? Thank you all for attending so far.
So there will not be any decisions made during the executive session, though we will come back from session to adjourn. You're welcome to stay until then.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
That's why the alarm came off.
All right. We have returned from executive session. There was no vote based on our discussion.
Yes.
So do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Second.
And the time?
It is 8:41.
8:46.
One.
All right,
so I have
to meet
three
months.
Those
approve?
Aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it.
Any nays? Good.
Okay.
All right. Good night, everyone. Good and we'll night. See you in January. Yeah.